Okay, we begin here on the bottom of Yudalad Amud Bet by the two dots. Echad Anichnas the Azara. So over here, the Mishnah indicates to us that someone who enters into the Azarot, into the Mikdash, while they are Tmeim, they are subject to the penalties. They do it B'mezid Karet, if they do it B'shogeg, what the proper requirements of Yudiyah, then they're going to bring a Korban Ole B'yored. In the Mishnah, it discussed about expanding the Azara, and the process by which you expand the Azara. So it says here, Minahane Mile. Where do we know this from? Rashi reads over here, Minahane Mile, Debinan Kohani Lotosevet Azara. That you need all of this protocol that was mentioned in the Mishnah, all the items, including the Sanhedrin, the Navi, the Melech, all of those. How do you know that that is necessary in order to expand the Kedushat HaAzara? Amar Rav Shimi Barchia Damakra, Kachola Sherani Mareotcha, Etavnita Mishkan, Vetavnit Kokelav, Vechain Tasu the Dorot. So there it says that Moshe is instructed through being shown the images of these items and the blueprints of the Mishkan, that this is the way that you should reproduce the Mishkan and the Kelim, Vechain Tasu, and that is also the protocol by which you will do it, Dorot, Latid Labo. The pasuk indicates that this protocol, or whatever is done now, will also be done in the future. Rashi says here, what is v'chein tasut? Kara yitera l'midrash l'dorot. It's an additional pasuk that comes to teach you that l'dorot, you must do this. Ubimei Moshe. It's at the time of Moshe, duhu melech. He's deemed to be the king. V'navi is also obviously a navi. V'achiv kohen gadol. His brother Aaron is the kohen gadol. The Urim Vitumim, and he wears the big day kuhuna and has the Urim Vitumim with which to ask Hashem. Vishivim Zikenim, and you have the 70 elders. So all of these individuals were involved in the building of the Mishkan. And so Latid Lavo, again, when you go to do this again, when you build the Mikdash, you're going to do it in a similar fashion with all of these individuals, the Melech, the Navi, Kohen Gadol, the Urim Vitumim, and Shivim Zikenim, all of which are mentioned in our Mishnah with regards to adding on to the Azara. At Tosafot over here, it says, Perish Bakunchis, Ubimei Moshe, Du Melech, Benaviv, Achiv, Kohen, Gadol, Verimitumi, B'teima. Says, I don't understand. Then in the first parak of Sanhedrin, when it comes to the establishment of the Sanhedrin Lishvatim, that we learn out from the fact that Moshe is in place of the Ayin Aleph, Zikenim, then you should also require there not only Moshe Rabbeinu as the Ayin Aleph Zekenim, you should require Moshe as a Melech, as a Navi. Why over here all of a sudden do we have a protocol that says you must have everything that Moshe was, everything that existed at that time needs to be there in order to expand on the Azara. Yet, when it comes to putting in the Sanhedrin Shvatim, you don't need all of those things. You just need a Beit Din Shel Ayin Echad, you need the Beit Din HaGadol, and that's it. So why is it that we don't require all of these other items? Over here we have a greater ribui. The fact that it says v'chein tasu the dorot, and it's not just assumed that we will look at whatever happened then and use it as a paradigm for the future, but the pasuk goes out of its way to demand v'chein tasu the dorot, that's coming to include more people or more items. And so here you're going to have a more expansive view as to the requirements needed to perform the Tosefet HaZara versus what we see by other situations in which we say, oh, look, at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, you had the Sanhedrin HaGdolah, you had the Ayin Aleph Zekenim, either because Moshe represented that or because you had the Sanhedrin that was present, but we're not going to require all the other trappings like the Melech, the Navi. All those things are only requirements when the pasuk gives a specific ribui. And then, with regards to what we're going to see in a second, the kelim by the kleya mishkan, even though they're mentioned in the pasuk, it says etavnita mishkan vetavnit kol kelav, which would indicate that this process is needed not only for the expansion of the azara, but also putting any kelim into service. So that we're going to have a miut in the pasuk that tells you that that's not the case for the kelim. For the kelim, there's limited need for these items. Tosfot over here is trying to balance between what we're saying here in particular with regards to the expansion of the Azara and other areas where we require the same protocols or the paradigm that was used in the Mishkan, and as to why we don't then include all these other individuals, the Kohen Gadol, the Navi, the Melech. So here it's unique because of the riboy that we find in the pasuk. Meitiv Rava. Rava asks, Kol hakelim she'asa Moshe mishichatan mikadashtan, that when you were anointed by the Shemun HaMishcha, that's what puts them into service. Then the kli is a kli sharet, and a kli sharet has the ability to mekadesh anything that is placed into it with kedushat haguf. Mikan ve'elech, in the future, in order to put a kli sharet into service, avodatan mechanchatan, their avoda, using them is what brings them into service. Rashi over here tells you the definition of chinuch. Chinuch lashon hatchala. The initiation, the inauguration, usage of the item is what puts it into service and then grants it its status and its kedusha. Ramai, v'neim ha'v'chein tasu l'dorot. Why don't you use v'chein tasu l'dorot that the pasuk mentions, the keli'im and the tavnita mishkan. Shani hotam damar kra, the pasuk says, v'yim shachem v'yikadesh otam, that he anointed them with the Shemun HaMishcha, and then he sanctified them. Otam b'mishicha, v'lo l'dorot b'mishicha. We have a miut that says, only then, otam, that requires Shemun HaMishcha. But in the future, you do not require Shemun HaMishcha. Ema, otam b'mishicha, l'dorot, o b'mishicha, o b'avodah. Let us suggest now that the miut just comes to tell you that you don't have to do it that way. But it doesn't mean that you can't do it that way. Let us say that you have an option in the future. In the future, you have the option either to use the Shemun HaMishcha, or you have the option to use them and put them into service. Amar Papa, Amar Kra, Asher Yishartu Bam BaKodesh, that you will use them or utilize them to service in the Kodesh. Lana Katuv B'Sherut. The pasuk says specifically their usage or utility is what grants them their Kedusha. So you see that Sherut is the determining factor. Rashi over here says that's learned from the fact that kafal kra belishnei, the duplication of the language in the pasuk is what teaches us that. Although Rashi, as the Bach points out in Masechet Sanhedrin, says it's because asher yishartu bam, which is in the future tense, and that's what actually teaches us that even though this is speaking about the kelim of Moshe, it's relevant to the future or future consecrations of the kelim. After the k'tav ramana asher yishartu. Once you have the pasuk v'asher yishartu, which indicates clearly that sherut is the ultimate determiner of whether the item is kodesh or not, otam lamali, why do you need the miut anymore? Based on the second pasuk that you brought, it's clear that its usage is what gives it the kedusha. Ilo katav rachman otam, if I didn't have the miut of otam, havamina hanehu d'mishicha, I would have thought that those in the mishkan required anointing by the Shemun HaMishcha, l'dorot, in the future, b'mishicha u'be'avodah. You would need actually both. B'chein tasu would indicate that you need mishicha, latid labo, and avodah would be from asher yishartu bam. So you would require both sherut and mishicha. Da'akotav, b'chein tasu, because you have the riboy of b'chein tasu, which would have included the kelim. Therefore, mi'et rachmano otam, the word otam comes to teach you, otam b'mishicha, v'lo l'dorot b'mishicha, comes to preclude the necessity for mishicha in the Atid Lavo, right, actually saying that it doesn't work. You need Sherut for sure because of Asher Yishartu Bam. The Otam comes to tell you that you don't need Mishicha. And that means Sherut alone will be the way that you put these items into service. Because as Rashi says over here, if you want to say that, it's coming to teach you simply that anointing alone is not enough, Atid Lavo, then Lishto Kramine, then don't bother to say anything. And we would have known that. The fact that it puts in otam is clearly coming to tell you something is not necessary, and that is mishicha. That you can't use mishicha, you need the sherut, and that's how it works in the future. Uvishtei todot. In the Mishnah it says that part of the process includes two korbanei todah. Now, as Rashi notes over here, that is not found in the psukim when we say v'chein tasu. There we had all the other items, which was Moshe, the Navi, the Melech, the Sanhedrin HaGdolah, Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, the Urim V'Tumim, the Todah was not mentioned there. As Rashi notes, it's mentioned over here, but it's really his commentary on the Mishnah, that comes from Nehemiah ben Chachlaya. That comes from the sanctification of the Mikdash Sheni. When Nehemiah does it, that's what's described in the Psukim. So here's another place where we have evidence as to what they did in the protocol to expand on the Azara. Although, if you look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says the source for the Todot, the Shtei Todot, Elu HaMiluim, that they represent or in some way replicate that which happened in the Korbanot of the Miluim, which is very interesting because there were no Korbanei Todah in the Miluim, even though the Parshia of the Korban Todah is very close by, juxtaposed to the Parshia at the end of Tzav that deals with the Miluim. But that is, according to the Rabbeinu Kananel, the source for the Shtei Todot. Tana, Shtei Todot Shamro Bilachman Velo Bibisaran. The Korbanei Todah that we're using over here is not the Korban itself. Is the lechem that comes with the korban that they use. The lachmei todah are what are used here in order to establish the kedusha. How do we know that that's the case? Because here's the pasuk from Nehemiah that Rashi says is the source for this. So here you have these two todot gedolot. This is going to be the key element of this gedolot. Why do you need the adjective or the modifier that they were big? That's what's going to teach us that it's actually the lechem atodah, not the basar todah. We'll see that in a second. And we're going on the right side above the choma. Rashi over here says that when it means on the right side, it means that when you're facing the halal ha'ir, when you're facing in towards the city, they always went to the right. You could have indicated in the normal way, when we say everything goes to the right, it means kol pinah shata poneh. Any turn that you make should be to the right side. That usually means that when you're facing something, you turn to the right. So if you're going around the wall, you would have assumed that as you exit the city, you go to the right, and then you continue to go with your right arm towards the wall. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it's from the opposite perspective. It's from entering into the city. When you're facing the city, then you go to the right side. So it actually would be counterclockwise instead of what would have been normally clockwise. That's how Rashi explains it, similar to the way that you would circumscribe the Mizbeach. Person who walks up the ramp, turns to the right, and then continues to go to the right. That is because they're facing towards the Mizbeach. Rashi says the same perspective is taken here. So my gedolot, what is meant by gadol over here? Ilema memin gadol mamash. You're going to tell me, bringing the biggest animal you can, name a parim, then just say it. We have different korbanot that are brought. You have kvasim, you have elim, and parim. And we know parim are the largest of the animals, largest of the korbanot that are brought. That's what the intent of the pasuk is. Just say parim. Why are you saying gedolot? Ela gedolot b'minan. You want to suggest now that it means the biggest of its species. I mean, not only do you have to bring parim, but you have to make the biggest parim. That mi'ika chashivuta kameshmayo. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about big or small. We have the Mishnah in Menachot. Ne'mar bolot behema. It says by an olah, but an olah that's brought from a behema. Ishei reach nikoach. Be'olat ha'of. Again, in the beginning of Vayikra, it has the parshia of olat ha'of as well. And there it says ishei reach nikoach. And right after that, it speaks about a mincha. And there it says ishei reach nikoach. Milameit. From that you learn the fact that it uses the same terminology about pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That she'achad amarveh ve'achad amamit. Doesn't matter if you give a lot or you give a little. It's your intent that is important or more important than that which you bring. So that means that it can't be that the pasuk is demanding that you bring the biggest animal, because the Torah doesn't care about that. The Torah cares about your intent when you bring it, not about the size of the korban that you bring. Even though we know, and this is the Balei Tosafot note over here, that when it says you have to bring one, it means the nicest one or the best one of your eder. And we know that with regards to Kain and Hevel, that of course Baruch Hu is makpid that the person brings that which is nicest. And we know that with the paraduma, if you find a nicer one than that, we tell you to replace it and bring the nicer one. So mikom makom lo yelo litper bekach. Even though that might be the case, it's not something that you would take credit for, or you would pat yourself on the back for. Because the mitzvah can be equally accomplished with whatever size you have, as long as you do it for the right intent. Yes, there is a requirement to bring the best. Now, I would have answered, maybe instead of what the Balei Tosafot suggests over here, I would simply answer that it is based on the perspective of the individual. It has to be the best of your item. It doesn't have to be the best of an objective standard. And that's different. The pasuk says there is no objective standard. No matter what you bring, whether it's the best or the biggest item or the smallest item, as long as you're mikavin libo l'shamayim, it's fine. Now, from your own perspective, there's a demand on you to bring the best item because of the fact that you need to give of yourself, show that you're dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So depending on the perspective, that's what the difference is between these two requirements. The one requirement is a personal requirement to bring the best that you have. The other side is a objective requirement that it doesn't matter if the poor person brings his best and the rich person brings his best, there's no difference between them. That's how I would have answered. On behalf of the Tosafot, Tosafot just simply says that it may be there is a requirement, but it's not something to take credit for, since you would have been just as good even if you didn't bring the biggest one, because of this Kavanat HaLev, that is important. It's important always to have the right intent. And again, the right intent might also mean that you have to bring the best of your items, because the intention of giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing that you are sacrificing giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're giving of yourself. And that would imply that you're giving your best, not your junk, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Ela Gidola Shibitoda must mean it's the biggest item in the Todah. Umaynihu, what is that? Chametz. That is the lachmei chametz that come with the Todah. Chametz is not allowed in the Mikdash. Chametz is not allowed on the Mizbeach. There are only two times in the Torah that chametz is mentioned as part of the Avodah. One is on Shavuot, which we'll bump into in a little bit, which are the Shtei Alechem that are brought with the Kivsei Atzeret on Shavuot. The other time is with the lachmei Todah, the Korban Todah that comes with 40 chalot. 10 of those are chametz, the other 30 are matzah. So what it's saying here is the chametz, those 10 loaves that come out of the 40 of the lachmei Torah that are chametz, that's what the reference is to, the tznan. Hadotah ita ba min chamesh sein Yerushalmiot. The Todah comes from the flour that needs to be used to make the lachmei Todah, comes from 5 sa'ah of the Yerushalmi measurements, shein shesh midbariot, which is the equivalent of 6 in the Midbar. So this has to do with a process by which they expanded the Midot. It actually happened twice. The first time it happened is when they got to Yerushalayim, they expanded the Midot so that what once was held by 6 Sa'im is now held by 5 Sa'im. And that's exactly what it's saying here. 5 Yerushalmiot are equivalent to 6 Midbariot. So the Midbariot ones were smaller. When they expanded the measurements in Yerushalayim, you only needed 5 now to get the same equivalent as the 6. Shehein shtei efot, which is the equivalent of 2 efah. Ve'efah shlosh sa'im. Each efah has got 3 sa'ah. Esrim isaron. And that equals 20 isaron, because we know basirita efah, that 1/10 of an efah is an isaron. So that means that an efah is 10 isaron. If you have 2 efot, then you have 20 isaron. Asarada chametz, basarada matzah. So this total of 20 isaron is split. 10 are given to the matzah, and 10 are given to the chametz. Ube matzah shlosha minim. By the matzah, you have 30 chalot that are going to be made there. 10 of each of the 3 different matzot, which are chalot, rikikim, and revucha, which are all mentioned in the psukim there. V'ikriva zevach ha-todah, chalot matzot, bilulot b'shemen. That's 1. Urikikei matzot, mishuchim b'shemen. That's 2. And solat murbechet chalot bululot b'shemen. That's 3rd. And then it says, al chalot lechem chametz yakriv. And that's the last 10, which are the chametz. So the 30 matzah are given half the raw materials or ingredients over here. And then the other 10 isaron go to the chametz. In that case, the chametz had the same amount of flour as the 30 matzot that were made. So they have 10 chalot of chametz that equate to the 30 matzot that you make. And that means that the chametz is the biggest, quote unquote, of the todah, because it gets the highest allocation of the ingredients of the flour in order to make the chalot of chametz. And that's what it means here, that they use the biggest part of the todah. The biggest part of the todah is the chalot of chametz. Amar Rami Bar Chama, in Azara mitkadeshet ela b'sheirei mincha. That the Azara only is sanctified with the leftovers of the mincha. So now, in the Mishnah it says, when you want to expand the city and you want to expand the Azarot, you need this protocol. What Rami Bar Chama is pointing out is that the difference between them is the korban that is used in order to sanctify it. When it comes to the expansion of the Azara, or the sanctification of the Azara, you'd use the mincha. And when it comes to the sanctification of Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim, or the expansion of Yerushalayim, you would use two todot. My daima ki Yerushalayim. It's simpler to Yerushalayim. My Yerushalayim, davar nechalba, mekatsha, something that's eaten in it, sanctifies it. Afazara, davar nechalba, mekatsha. So too with azara, something that's eaten in it, is what sanctifies it. Atu lachme toda bazara milo mitachle. Wait a minute, the lachme toda could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Anywhere in Yerushalayim means also in the azara. So why can't they be used? Ella, seems obvious what the answer is, ki Yerushalayim. My Yerushalayim davar nechal ba, veyotze mimena nifsau. The way that you sanctify Yerushalayim is by using an item which is limited in scope to the area inside the walls of Yerushalayim. A korban shlamim, a korban toda, any of the kodshim kalim, including the lachme toda, can be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, inside the walls of the city of Yerushalayim. You take it outside the walls of the Yerushalayim, that's yotzei. That is going outside the bounds of which are permitted, and it would make it pasul. So you use an item by which it would be pasul if you left the area, and that's how you sanctify it. Afazara, davar nechal ba, vayotzei mimena nifsal. So too by the azara, they pick something that can only be eaten in the azara. Those are kodshim, kodshei kodashim. Kodshei kodashim have to be eaten by the kohanim inside the azara, and shari minchar, minachot in general, are considered to be kodshei kodashim, and so the leftovers of the mincha, after the komets is placed on the mizbeah, that the kohanim are entitled to eat, are limited to the scope of the azara. So that item, if you leave the azara, would be pasul. So you're going to use an item similar to the lachmei toda to sanctify the azarot. Imal halan chametz, afkan chametz. So let us say, just like over there by the korban toda, you use chametz, so too over here you should have to use chametz. If you're saying that we're just using whatever was used in Yerushalayim, but bringing an item that is more limited in the scope in which it's allowed to be eaten, then use the same type of item, which is chametz. Sherei mincha is similar because it is a type of bread, quote unquote. It's matzah, but it's a type of bread, so why not use something that's exactly alike and bring chametz? V'tisbero, minchat chametz, mi'ika. What type of question is that? We don't have anything in the world of menachot that is chametz. V'chei teima demachmetz leho l'shirayim. If you want to say, let the shirayim, the leftovers of the mincha, to rise and become chametz, o mikadesh v'hu, and then you'll use them, v'aktiv. We have a puzzle that says, lo te'afe chametz chelkam, that the portion of the kohanim may not be baked into chametz. V'armesh lakish, afilu chelkam lo te'afe chametz. Right, so even their portion, you can't make it into chametz. In that he reparses the pasuk to tell you that not only can the mincha itself not be chametz, but even the shayirei mincha cannot be made into chametz. Pasuk says, lo te'afe chametz, chelkam natati otam yishai. So the pasuk really divides into, don't bake them into chametz, the mincha. Chelkam natati otam yishai. I gave them my portion from that which goes on the mizbeach, kodesh kodeshim hi kechatat v'chasham. The mincha has the same status as a chatat and hasham, it's kodeshei kodeshim. But what Rish Lakish does is it says, lo tafeh chametz chelkam. He reparses the pasuk so that chelkam, the portion that goes to the kohanim, is also governed by the first statement in the pasuk, which is lo tafeh chametz. That teaches you that even the portion that the kohanim eat may not be made into chametz. So that's clearly not an option over here. Alama lo efshar, the mekadesh b'shtei alechem batzeret. Says, why don't we just use the shtei alechem that are brought on Shavuot? Because if you're looking for chametz, as we said before, there are only two times that chametz are brought in the mikdash, the korban todah, and the other one is the shtei alechem. The shtei alechem that come with the kibsei atzeret on Shavuot are kodshei kodashim. And they can only be eaten in the azara. That's exactly what we're looking for. So why not say that we use the shtei alechem in order to be mikadesh, the walls of the azara? Mishum delo efshar, because it won't work so well. Heichi na'avid. What exactly do you want us to do in order for this to work? Nivne me'etmol. You'll finish building the areas of the azara. Me'etmol means Erev Yom Tov. Minikadshe me'etmol. And then you'll be mikadesh them on Erev Yom Tov. Shtei alechem b'shchitat kvasim hu dekadshe. The shtei alechem only get their sanctification through the shchita, the shechting of the korbanei shlamim shel tzibur that are brought on Shavuot, which are the kivsei atzeret.
When you shecht them, that's what imbues Kedushah into the Shtei Alechem. So you can't say, oh, make them Kodesh on Erev Yom Tov, because they don't become Kodesh by themselves. You need to do the Shechita of the Kivsei Atzeret, and that is done on Shavuot itself. It's very similar, or exactly like the Lachmei Todah. The Lachmei Todah only are given their Kedushah by the Shechita of the Shlamim, or the Todah that is brought with them. The Korban imbues the Kedushah into the Lechem. They get Kedushat Damim, because you purchase them with the monies of Trumat HaLishka, or the person can be Mekadesh them. But they only attain full Kedushat HaGuf through the Shechita of the animal. If that's the case, you can't do that on Erev Yom Tov. So now what do you want to do? Nivne me'etmo, finish the building on Erev Yom Tov, and then you'll be mikadesh it on Shavuot itself. When you shech the kivsei atzeret, then you have the shtei alechem, you'll use them then. Be'inen kiddush b'shata binyan. You have to do the sanctification of it at the completion of the building. You don't wait afterwards. You do it at the moment that you finish the building. Nivne b'yom tov, v'nekadshe b'yom tov. So let's finish the building on Yom Tov, and then sanctify it on Yom Tov. Ein binyan mikdash tochei Yom Tov. The building of the Beit HaMikdash does not supersede Yom Tov. That is based on the pasuk of Et Shabtotai Tishmoru, O Mikdashi Tira'u, Ani Hashem, which is the pasuk in Parshat Kiddushim, which says, Kuchem chayavim bichvodi. Everybody has to sanctify or honor my name, and that is whether it's you, or the Mikdash. And that means that you don't have the right to violate Shabbat in order to build the Mishkan. You don't have the right to violate Shabbat to build the Mikdash. And Yom Tov, as Rashi notes over here, Ikrei Shabbat. Yom Tov is also called a Shabbat from Parshat Emor. We see the opening is Shabbat, and then it continues into the Yamim Tovim, that they are subsets of Shabbat, and so therefore you can't build on Yom Tov. Now, this has to do truthfully with a Gemara that is found in both Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah, and the Balei Tosafot address it over here somewhat, which is that so true? That the Binyan Beit HaMikdash is not Doche Yom Tov because of a Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is Yom HaNeif Kulo Asur, but they regards to it Chadash and Yashan, in cases where the Omer is not brought. And that it counts when the Omer is brought, after the Omer is brought in the Beit HaMikdash, then Chadash is Mutar. So on the 16th of Nisan, after they brought the Korban HaOmer, you could start eating Chadash. What happens when there's no Korban HaOmer? When is the point in time where you're allowed to then begin Chadash? Now technically, the Gemara seems to indicate that it could be from sunrise on the 16th. Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that we don't do that because Shema Yibane Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and people will think, like last year, I ate it right away. And here, this year, you have to wait for the Korban HaOmer. Over there, again, the Gemara discusses how long you would have to wait. In the end, if the Gezerah, the Takana, was Yom HaNeif Kulo, the entire day of the 16th we wait, because maybe they'll build the Beit HaMikdash very close to Pesach, and then they won't be able to get it into service till late on the day of the 16th. Over there, the Gemara has the same discussion. What exactly is he worried about? When did they finish the Beit HaMikdash that it would be a problem that they are late on the 16th trying to bring it? Again, the 15th is Yom Tov. It's the first day of Pesach. So the Gemara there says also, Binyan Beit HaMikdash not Doche Yom Tov, and also, Binyan Beit HaMikdash is not done at night. It's only done during the day, which again we'll mention over here as well. Since you can't build at night, what is the exact fear that we have? So that question with regards to whether you can or cannot build on Yom Tov, it seems that the Sugyot have different conclusions with regards to that. And Rashi, in Rosh Hashanah, and Rashi in Sukkah, comes to the same conclusion that Tosafot mentions over here. He says, "Ve'ish lamar, dainu beit hamikdash la'atid, shu asui me'alav bidei shamayim." Tosafot over here says, based on those sugyot, which indicate you can build the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Tov, or you're allowed to have it built on Yom Tov, the difference is how the Beit HaMikdash is built. If it's built by man, it can't be done on Yom Tov. You can't override Yom Tov to build the Mikshkan, to build the Mikdash. The other hand, if it comes down from the Shamayim, then you could build it on Yom Tov, because you're not building. It's coming down in a Shamayim, and it could come down on Yom Tov itself. It could come down on Shabbat itself. That distinction that the Balei Tosafot make is a machloket harishonim as to how the Bayit HaShlishi is going to come about. Is the Bayit HaShlishi going to come in Ish Min HaShamayim, Or is Bayis Shlishi going to come because we build it? Human hands build it. This sugya here versus the sugya of the Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah might be arguing about exactly that point. We say that Binyan Beit HaMikdash is doche or not doche Yom Tov. That has to do with what you think is going to happen in the Bayis Shlishi. Is it going to be built by man? Then it's not doche Yom Tov. It's built by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, it comes down in a Shemayim Be'esh, then Yom Tov is not a factor. And so that's what the Tosafot says over here, that they distinguish between cases where it's man-made versus God-made. And when it's man-made, you have this problem. When it's not man-made, that machloket, which seems to me to be a machloket asugyot, as to whether this is relevant because of the building on Yom Tov, that machloket asugyot actually plays out in what we say in Nachem on Tisha B'Av, because over there we say that in Nachem, that Hashem burnt down the Mikdash, the Eish, and then Ube'esh, he's going to bring back the new Mikdash, which seems to lean heavily in favor of those that view that the Mikdash is going to come down min ha-shamayim. You could argue that it is allegorical, although the Rashi, and I pointed this out in Sanhedrin, when he speaks about Midah k'neged Midah of Eish, he gives that example of the Mikdash, and it seems to be that he believes literally that's what it means, that just like it was burnt in Eish, it's going to come down Be'esh, that it's going to return in fire, and it's going to return min ha-shamayim. And that might be the difference between our sugir, which says that it's asur and yom tov, and the other sugyot that Tosfot asks from, where it says, no problem to be building on yom tov. So that difference might have to do with your view as to how the Mikdash is going to come about. Alright. Nishavko the batar hochi. So let us leave over something. Vinipne, vinikache. So let us leave over the korban, and then build, and sanctify it when we finish the building. Ifsalele belino. You can't leave the shtei lechem over. They're kodshei kodashim, which means they're eating for yom v'layla, that day and that night. And then you would not be able to do this, because the shtei lechem on yom tov you can't build. At night you can't build. And that's the only time period where the shtei lechem are ra'oi, during the day of yom tov and the night afterwards. So nivnei memali yoma. So this is your suggestion. Build on an erev of yom tov. V'nishayra be'purta. Leave over a little piece of the building that needs to be done. The Kodesh, Yoma, the altar, Nigamrei, Vinikache. So that at the time that the Yom stops being Kadosh, meaning Imotze Yom Tov, becomes immediately you'll finish it, Vinikache, and then we would finish it off. So here again, the suggestion is Motze Yom Tov. You will leave over one little thing to do. You'll finish it up on Motze Yom Tov, and then you'll use the Shtei Alechem. Ein Ben Yevita Mikdash Balayla. There's no building of the Mikdash at night, and so that option is not available. If you wait until the next day, Motzei Shavuot, on the next morning, then the Lechem is already Pasul Belina, and so you don't have a way to do this. This actually plays into the issue of whether when you finish a Masechta, what is the requirement in terms of making a Siyum at the finishing of a Masechta? If you finish a Masechta, are you allowed to postpone the celebration of the Siyum that is associated with that completion of a Masechta? We learn it from the sanctification or the consecration of the Mikdash. So by Shlomo Melech, we saw that Shlomo Melech put the Beit HaMikdash into service when they finished building it, and he overran Yom Kippur in that year. It says in that year they celebrated the Chanukat HaMikdash 7 days before Sukkot. That means that they were celebrating on Yom Kippur. Sukkot is on the 15th. The 7 days prior to that run over the 10th of Tishrei. And so the Gemara tells us in that year they did not celebrate Yom Kippur. It was nidcheh because of the Chanukat HaMikdash. But what you see from that is that you can't postpone it. Why not just wait, keep Yom Kippur, and delay the consecration or the sanctification of the Mikdash? The answer is that when you finish, you can't wait. So that's one view. The other view is what we have over here, which is that even though you can't wait, if you finish the Masechta, you can't postpone the Siyum. But if you leave over something, you don't finish it completely, you leave a little bit over, then maybe you're allowed to postpone it or wait to have the siyum at the time that you finish that little piece at the end, which is what the Gemara was indicating here, that if you left a little bit of the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, that would be enough to postpone the requirement to consecrate the Mikdash. But you see here in our Gemara as well, that as soon as you finish the building, you need to consecrate it. You can't wait, which means that you are compelled when you finish to make a siyum, and it would be inappropriate to postpone a siyum. This has nafkamiyot d'alocha with regards to the 9 days, where people specifically wait to make a siyum on the 9 days. It's very important that they don't finish it and then wait to make the siyum. They literally need to make the siyum on the 9 days in order for it to be valid, that is the point of siyum, and that's the time that you celebrate. versus doing it at an earlier time and then just saying, oh, I'll have to see him on the 9 days or postpone it until the 9 days. How do we know that you can't build at night? You can put it up on the day, you cannot put it up at night. So that's made it's an impossibility. There's no way to do the consecration of the Azara or the expansion of the Azara with lechem chametz. There's no way to get chametz. Again, the only option would have been shtei lechem. The shtei lechem were precluded because the only time when the shtei lechem are valid as chametz is on Yom Tov and Motzei Yom Tov. Both are times that you cannot build the Beit HaMikdash. One because it's Yom Tov, the other one because it is nighttime. And so that means that we use the Sharia Mincha in order to sanctify it, even though they're not chametz, because that's the only thing that we have. And actually, Tosafot on the previous Amud asks about all different scenarios, including how are you Mikadesh, Harabayit, or Arei Batei Chuma inside of Eretz Yisrael, because none of these items would be relevant. And he brings the answer that the Gemara brings over here, which is the Lefshar. When it's not possible, then the sanctification simply comes from utility. As you use it, it gets that sanctification. This sanctification is unique to the areas of the Mikdash Dezerot and Yerushalayim. Ubishir, if you remember in the Mishnah, one of the items by which they consecrated the Azara or expanded the Azara was through song. The question is, what song? Darabanan, Shir Shel Todah. You do the Shir of the Todah, which we say every morning, which is Mizmor LeTodah. BeKinorot UbeNevalim UbeTzaltzalim. You do it with the lyres, the harps, and the cymbals. I'll call pina upina at every turn. I'll call Evan Gdolah should be Yerushalayim, and every great stone that is on the walls of Yerushalayim. Ve'omer. In addition to saying Mizmor LeTodah, it's Minyana Deyoma. Today is the first day of Chanukah, and they said Arvim Hashem Ki Dilitani Mizmor Shir Chanukah Dabayit is part of the Shira that they said in the sanctification of Yerushalayim or the expansion of the sanctification of Yerushalayim. Vishir Shel Pigaim. In addition to that, there's a third song that is sung, which is the Shir Shel Pigaim. Vishomim Shir Shel Nigaim. So Pega is some difficulty or problem that arises, and a Nega obviously is a Nega Tzarat. Now what is the Shir Shel Pigaim, a Shir Shel Nigaim? Manda Mar Nigaim. The one who says Nigaim Dichtiv, V'Nega Lo Yikrav Ba'o Alecha. Manda Mar Pigaim Dichtiv Mipo Mitzidcha Elef. So both of them are referring to Vomer Yoshev Besito Yon Betzel Shakai Itlonan, the Tzilim of Yoshev Besito Elyon Agiat Hashem Maksi Elyon. Groar wipes out the remainder of the pasuk there. In addition to that, you also say Vayhi Noam, because in the Tzilim of Vayhi Noam it says that Hashem will be with you, and therefore He will protect you. And B'nega Lo Yikrav Bo'alecha. No nega will come into your tent, meaning that it will not be affected by negaim. And he pomitzit chalef. 1,000 will fall, and on your right side, 10,000 will fall. Meaning the protection that Hashem affords you will defeat your enemies. So the one who says negaim is referencing to that pasuk of nega lo yikra b'lecha. The one who says pigaim is referring to he pomitzit chalef u'rava minecha. Now, why is it that you would say vayhi noam? Because that is the same tehillim that Moshe Rabbeinu said at the consecration of the Mishkan. When at the consecration of the Mishkan, it says, Vayavarechu tam Moshe. Moshe gave a bracha when they consecrated the Mishkan and put it into service. Moshe gave a bracha. Uma birkan. What was the bracha that he gave? Yiratzon shetishre shechina b'maseh yedeichem. It should be the will of Hashem that His shechina, His presence, should dwell in the work of your hands. Vayinoam Hashem alokeinu alenu maseh yedeinu konenehu. So that is the pasuk that deals with work and human efforts to bring about Ashrat HaShchinah. That's why, first of all, we say Vayhi Noam on Motzei Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat, you're about to enter into the work week, another 6 days of work. You say Vayhi Noam because you want the Ashrat HaShchinah, the sanctity of Shabbat, to devolve upon the human efforts that are made in the upcoming 6 days. So that's why you say Vayhi Noam on Motzei Shabbat. You say Vayhi Noam at the consecration of the Mishkan, because again, it's human work that you want the Hashrat HaShchinah, you want the presence of God to fill and to sanctify that which humans have done. And similarly over here, where you're trying to sanctify, whether it's the city of Yerushalayim or the Azarot, Vayinoam is an appropriate tefillah that Hashem's Shekhinah should be shoreh in the work of Adam, or that Kedusha should devolve upon that which is of the mundane, because we're trying to sanctify that which we do in our lives. And so the Vayi Noam is appropriate in that case. And you can see here in Rashi, he says that Vayi Noam and Yosef B'Sefer Elyon, those are one of the 11 Mizmorim, Shamar Moshe B'Sefer Tehillim, that Moshe is the author of in Sefer Tehillim, Mitzvilah LeMoshe, Atzof Mizmor LeToda. From Tevilah LeMoshe, which we say on Shabbat morning, Mizmor LeToda, which we say every day, and in between you have Vayi Noam and Yosef B'Sefer Elyon, and those are included in the items that are said with regards to the consecration of the Mishkan, and here too, by the consecration of Yerushalayim. The Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly different girsa over here, and he has Shil Shel Toda B'Kinro to Mnevalim B'Tzal Tzal, Al Kol Pina Pina Al Kol Eben G'dola Shmushalayim, Shenemar, Arumimcha Hashem Kedilitani. So he sees that as the reason for why we do the Shira, is based on Mizveh Shir Chanukah Tavayit, that tells us that we celebrate and we exalt Hashem when we are consecrating something. And then, what is the Shira? Is the Shir Shel B'Gayim, B'Kinuro to Nevalim U'B'Tupim. So Rabbeinu Chananel sees Mizveh Shir Chanukah Tavayit not as one of the Shirim that are sung, but rather as the reason that we sing the other Shirot that are there. V'chozer v'omer. And then in addition to that, you say, Mizmor leDavid b'barcho mibnei Avshalom b'no, Hashem harabu tzarai, ad Hashem Yeshua l'amecha b'rchatech ha'sela. Then you add in the additional tehillim over here about David running away from Avshalom. It's very hard to understand why these psukim are here. You look in the Ot, Bet, and Gimel of the Grah, he takes them out completely. Says that they don't belong here as part of the tehillim that are said, or the shira that is said. First of all, they're not a shira. Number two is, what do they have to do with the consecration of Yerushalayim or the Mikdash? All the other items, we understand what the relevance is. Here, we don't know what the relevance is. In addition, Rashi, who does explain why they're here, he says the reason they're here is because at the time of the Binyan Bayit Sheni, Yahu Mitlo Tzitzim Bisare Yehuda Binyamin. People of the time were making fun of the people of Yehuda and Binyamin. Shayu Bnei Yisrael Bnei Agolah Bonim Et Achumah. When they're building the walls of the city and repairing the walls of the city, it says in Nehemiah, Ma Yudim Ha'amulalim Osim, what are these forlorn, these terrible Jews doing? Hayichyuat Amanim Aremot Afar, are they going to bring back to life the destruction or the stones or the dust of the earth? Behema Srufot, they're already burnt down and destroyed. What do you think? You're going to try to revive something that is dead? And so they were making fun of them and pressuring them. And that's what the Mizmor leDavid b'Barchom Mipnei Avshalom, but no, Hashem Rabu Tzarai. All those that were difficult to me, or the difficulties experienced by those that returned to Shivat Zion, and in building the Mikdash and the walls of Yerushalayim, that's what makes it appropriate, Rashi says. So then again, it doesn't make so much sense. This is a protocol for any time you want to expand the Azara, anytime you want to expand the walls of Yerushalayim, this is the Shir. It might have been relevant at that time, in the time of the consecration of Bayit Sheni, or the walls of Yerushalayim in the time of Bayit Sheni, but why is that relevant in Latid Lavo? It's really particular to the time period. Barchom Mei Avshalom is because they had difficulties then. Because they had difficulties then, that means we need to sing the same Shira later on when we build the Beit HaMikdash. Doesn't seem to be relevant. So I think that only compounds the Groh's feeling that these don't belong here. These aren't part of the Shira that is included in the consecration of the walls. Rashi gives the reason as to why you might include them. But again, Rashi's reasoning only serves to reinforce this, and you can see that in the Balei Tosfot as well. Ad ki ata shem machsi elyon, which again, the Groh takes out of the Girsa, because Tosfot says again over there, the mishtai bo'yivim, starting about your enemy, shayu mitzirim lehem b'shata binyan, that were giving them a hard time when they were building. Avam sham elech lo mishtai b'hafi. After that point, it's not relevant to the rest of the story. Again, the Groh takes it out because he doesn't believe that that makes sense, that the enemies are dealing with the enemies, which is a particular event that is unique to the building of Bayit Sheni, should be part of the protocol forever in terms of the Shira. Now, Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amalu Lahani Krai Vigane. He used to say these psukim and then go to sleep. So that's where Kriyat Shema L'Mita. Why is Vayi Noam and Yosef B'Sefer Elyon included in Kriyat Shema L'Mita? It comes from here. Hechi Avid Ochi. How could he do this? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur Li Yitrapot B'Divrei Torah. You're not allowed to use Divrei Torah for medicinal purposes or for personal benefit, like incantations or lichishot that you would say over some sickness, where it says lagain shiny. For protection is different. This is not medicinal in nature. It's not using it as an incantation. It's not for healing. It's simply as a means of protection. Vela ki amar asur de'ika makeh. So the Gemara says here, well, it's only a sore when you have something that is a wound, or you're trying to heal something, that's when it's problematic. If you have a makeh, you think it's just a sore? It's much more than that. Vatnan. We had the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, alocheish ala makeh, someone who does an incantation over a wound, he loses his olam haba. It's much more severe punishment over there. So now you made a suggestion that for protection it's allowed, but over a wound, it's not allowed. Not allowed? Forget about not allowed. You're going to lose your olam haba if you do it over a makeh. I don't think you're stating it in the proper way. Mar says, no, hayit mar la. We already qualified that statement there. That's when he spits. Or he does something as part of the incantation where he spits, which is inappropriate. That's a person who loses olam haba. So ishein maskirim shem shemayim ala rikika. Because it's inappropriate to mention the shem Hashem while you are spitting. The pasuk that they use in general is called a machlash or something. Mitzrayim lo sim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. So there is the Shem Shemayim, and we don't want you spitting at the same time. So there are actually three levels here. One is haganah, which is allowed. You're allowed to say psukim for haganah. Rifuah is asur. Rifuah was spitting. That's you lose olam haba for. And that's what the gradations are that are being mentioned over here. You can daven for someone to be healed. You can daven for ruach shlema. You can say tehillim. When you're using it as an incantation in particular to solve a problem over a makeh, that is not allowed. That's the problem over here, because it's particularly directed using it as a curative property rather than the kedusha of the items where you're davening to Hashem. So using it as a lichisha diminishes the kavod Torah, minimizes or denigrates the Torah. On the other hand, using it as a haganah is actually the sanctification. The Torah itself provides the haganah because of its kedusha. And therefore, that's permitted as opposed to using it for elichisha. Tosfot does give an exception over here to the rule that you're not allowed to be mitrapot v'divrei Torah v'sakanta shiny. If there's danger to life, then one can use this because ein davar omed b'fnei hasakana, and if the person's life is in danger, then you can even use it as an incantation because he brings an example like that. Right, so now it says, Beitin mehalchim, ushtei todot achareihem. The Beitin goes, and then the todot are behind them. Now the Gra takes it out over here, it says that it's not the Girsa in the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes it sound like the two todot come after the Beitin, and that's what the Gemara is going to question. The Gra says that the achareihem shouldn't be here and shouldn't be in the Mishnah, but the question of the Gemara is, it just lists the items, makes it sound like the shtei todot are after the Beitin, and now we're going to fix that problem. The Memra, the Beitin kamei todah azle. Sounds like the Beitin go first and then the todot afterwards. Vaktiv, pasuk Nechemia, which is the precedent by which we're using this. Vaylech achreim Hoshaya v'chatzi sarei Yehuda. So it sounds like they're going after the korbanei todah. So halchi kamar Beitin halchim u'shtei todot nachalchot u'Beitin achreim. So the achreim is modifying the Beitin and not the shtei todot. So the achreim doesn't mean the todot go after the Beitin, but rather the Beitin goes after the todot. Although the way that the Gra has it over here is Beitin mehalchim u'shtei todot mehalchot achareihem u'Yisrael achareihem. That he says that it's the Beitin does go first, the two todot afterwards, and then the remainder of Yisrael goes after them, and that's what's being described in the pasuk. So that's a different girsa the way that the Gra has it. Ketzad mehalchot. How do they go about this? How do they walk? B'chiyav Rabbi Shimon Barabi chanamar zo keneged zo. One of them says that they are adjacent to each other. The shtei lachmei todah are one next to the other. V'chad amar zo achar zo. The other one says that they go one after the other. They go single file or sequentially. Mad amar zo keneged zo. One who says that they go adjacent to each other. Ha'pnimit hachti mekarva l'choma. Then it's easy to know which one's the inside one, which one's the outside one. The inside one is the one closest to the wall. The outside one is the one further away from the wall. Mad amar zo achar zo. The one who says that they go one after the other, hapnimit. Then which one is the inside one? Hacht mikarva the beitin. The one closer to the beitin is deemed to be the pnimit. And the one further away from the beitin is the one that is chitzonit. It's none. Hapnimit nechelet, vachitzona nisrefet. The inner one is eaten, the outer one is burnt. Bishma lamanda marzo achar zo, the one who says that they go sequentially in single file, amatu lahochi. I understand. They meet nechelet, mishom da'acha chitzona kamo, v'kad shalo, because the outer one goes first and is mikadeshit, and then the inner one is now inside the walls or inside the new area that is kadosh, and that's why it's okay. El daman damar zo keneged zo, one who says that they were next to each other, adjacent to each other, tavayu ba'adei adodei kemikadeshe. They both are mikadeshit simultaneously. So then, why would one be eaten and the other one not eaten? Tosfot over here suggests, why wouldn't we say just the opposite? That the first lechem should be the one that is eaten and the other one is burned, because until the sanctification of the walls of Yerushalayim, then you're allowed to eat kodshei kalim b'chol aruah, anywhere you can see. Once you've consecrated it, then you need to be inside the wall. Here they're walking around the outside of the walls. So the first one, which is prior to the kedusha, can be eaten b'chol aruah, it should be kasher. The second one, which then finishes off the sanctity, is now outside the wall, and therefore it should be the problem instead of the first one. So Tosva gives the answer, V'yishlamar, V'kemin shalchat todah kolshu, the Torah goes any amount, Tavila yotzei b'makom shemalechet. It's considered to be yotzei wherever it is being walked or taken, and therefore here, even though it's only moved a drop, nevertheless it's already considered to be outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and therefore, both of them would be deemed, in essence, to be outside the Yerushalayim, and that's why the Gemara gives the opposite reason. I would have suggested simply that the Mishnah says that this is good for the sanctification of the walls of Yerushalayim, as well as the expansion of Yerushalayim. And we're dealing with the expansion of Yerushalayim, but Kol HaRoeh is not relevant, because there's already a sanctified wall. And that's why the Gemara says that the first one should be Pasul, because it's outside the original walls. But the second one maybe should be Kasher, because now it is inside the area or by the area that is now going to be sanctified. But the truth is that if you're walking outside the walls, that both of them are really found outside the new area that is being sanctified. And for that reason, the previous Tosafot then says that Rashi says that when they walked around the wall, they walked chitzona on the outside of the walls with the two. But then Tosafot says, I don't understand. How could you have one of them that is considered to be kadosh? So what the Bali Tosafot suggests is that they walked on the inside of the walls, not on the outside of the walls. And even though then it makes the language of the Gemara much harder, because here it says the pnimi, the inside one is the one closer to the wall, it turns out that's not true. Because if you're walking inside the wall, the one closer to the wall is the outer chalag when you're walking side by side. Nevertheless, it calls it the pnimi. The one that's closer into the city, it's more obvious which one is the pnimi. But the Bali Tosafot suggests here, as opposed to Rashi's explanation before, that the circumscribing of the city was done inside the walls, or the future walls or expansion area, as Rashi says, it's done outside. But if you do it inside, then that avoids the problem of trying to understand why the second one over here, the Gemara suggests, would be allowed to be eaten because it wasn't Yotze, it hadn't left the areas of the walls, because they both were inside of the areas that they were trying to consecrate, or the new area that they were consecrating. Uletameich, according to your reason, the Manda Amar Zoach Arzo, you're telling me the one who says it goes one after the other, Chada Mimikacha. Is it really true that one set of lachmei todah would suffice over here, and then you would be mekadesh it? Then why do you need two? Ha, kosh lo naseh b'chol elutznan. It says that you have to use all the things here in this shtei todot. That means that it requires both lachmei todah, or sets of lachmei todah, to make it kadosh. So your suggestion here that the first one makes the kadosh and then you eat the second one doesn't make any sense. Va'afilu l'mandamar v'achat mikol elut, this is machloket amoraim that we'll see in tomorrow's daf. When it says the protocol that's mentioned in the Mishnah, do you need everything that's there? Or any one of those items would suffice in order to be mekadesh it? So according to the one who says any one of those items, Hani Tarbayu Chada Mitzvah, he still agrees that it's not means one set of Lachmei Todah or another set of Lachmei Todah. He still says if you use the Lachmei Todah, you need both sets of Lachmei Todah. So they're integrally connected. How could you claim that one is mekadesh and then the other one can be eaten? Elo Amar Rav Yochanan, Alpi Navi Nechelet, Valpi Navi Misrefet. It's the equivalent of Alokha Lamoshe Mitzinai, but here it's done by the Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, who were present at the beginning of Bayit Sheni, and were there for the consecration of Bayit Sheni. They, Beruach HaKodesh, told us that the Pnimit gets eaten, and the Chitzonah gets Nisrefet, depending on what your position is with regards to whether they were next to each other or in one in front of the other. The Pnimit will be eaten, the outer one will be burnt, and that is the equivalent, again, Alokha Lamoshe Mitzinai, or it's a tzibui of the Navi that tells us to do it. It's without rhyme or reason. It's simply that is the protocol that is used over here. Okay, we're going to stop here about the two dots on the top of Tetzayin Amud Aleph.